Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. It's so great to be here again. And I'm so looking forward to our show today. I'm actually in sunny Hawaii, so I'm not going to complain about the weather or complain about Hawaii. I know lots of you are in other parts of the world, and we're still in winter in the East Coast and Midwest. And we were actually getting cold weather in Hawaii last week. And when I say cold, it means like in the 60s when it's usually 80s. And that's cold for Hawaii. So I'm so looking forward to today. If anybody wants to call in, because our call-in number is 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428. You can also email radio at Realty Universal. And if you're listening later, we're going to give you recap information too. So today we're going to take the full hour for we're on Realty Universal Radio. For those of you that are used to us, you know the first half is typically real estate, second half self-help, community issues, etc. Well, today we're going to spend the whole hour with a wonderful guest about a really serious topic today that many, many people need, and that's credit merchant accounts, and also some tips if you're a consumer with credit fraud. So we're going to go ahead and take the whole hour because this covers a lot of information with business, real estate, and the helping the community. So Roberta Olnichuk is going to fill us in on credit card merchant accounts, some on credit card fraud. She has been in the industry for over 7 years as a payment processor consultant with GoE Merchant and has years of business experience. So she really sees the big picture and can offer a ton of information. We have so many choices today and truly need to know what's going on to protect ourselves. So, without further ado, I'd like to welcome Roberta. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Natalie. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate that.
And I'm so looking forward to this today.
So. Now, did you want to ask me some questions, or do you want me to give you just an overview of merchant services? How would you like to begin?
That's probably the good way to start because we're going to cover a lot of material. So we'll dig in, and we may take breaks. We may not take breaks just to see how it goes today. So, why don't we give why don't you give an overview of what it is?
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, in this day and age, it's important to be able to take all different types of payment methods when you're selling in person or online. And, of course, credit cards. The accepting credit cards is very important. It's part of doing business nowadays. So in order to accept credit cards, you need to have a merchant account set up, as well as when you process credit cards that are non-card present, because many, many people have expanded their businesses to sell online, which is wonderful. You're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You also need software that will enable you to take credit card payments online. So basically, what is a merchant account? A merchant account is the banking portion that funds the money between Visa and MasterCard or Discover and American Express and the merchant. So it's important to have that set up, again, when you're processing cards. And there are some terms that are important to know when you're looking at a merchant account. Merchant accounts are either card present or non-card present. And in the industry, we use words like retail for card present. That's when you always have a card and you can always swipe it. If it's non-card present, we call it internet or e-commerce. And that's when you may have a card, but you're going to enter it into a system or sell something online. So the card is not available to swipe. Do you have any questions on that so far?
No, they actually, so that's really interesting. So you can, so if it's not available to swipe, I'm assuming the fees are probably higher, right, because they don't have the protection of the card?
Well, it's not even the protection of the card. Non-card present, there is, I guess you're right. There could be more fraud, but there's more verification that needs to be done on the card because you're not swiping with that MagTech information. It's being keyed in.
Okay. So it's being keyed in. Now, if somebody has a machine and then they don't swipe, the person still gives them the information over the phone, that's still non-card present because it's keyed in?
It is. You're keying it in, and it is considered non-card present, but then the rate would be higher. So it is very important to set up a merchant account according to your business needs. For example, if you're doing 90% swipe and 10% of the time you may key something in, that's fine. But if the percentages get even higher than that, you really need to set up the appropriate merchant account for the type of processing you're going to be doing, because that way you're insured to get the best rate possible.
Right. Okay. That's fantastic. Well, I tell you, you've been with GoE Merchant for years, right? And
yes.
I want to go ahead and if you could give your contact information, I want people to have that in case they can contact you directly. Because you can you cover pretty much all 50 states?
Or
can
do.
They actually, what about if they
because
want to be go in Canada?
We do some in Canada, but basically we're in the United States. And we do offer every type of credit card processing available. We did start out online mostly because we are software developers and we have our own proprietary gateway. But we also offer really nice point-of-sale solutions, some of the newest ones with iPads. And so we do have solutions for every type of credit card processing. My phone number, I will give it to you now, is 888-638-7867. My extension is 3876, and our website is goemerchant.com. Feel free to log in. We have a wealth of information on our website. But, of course, give me a call. I'll be happy to speak with anyone about any type of credit card processing solution and help you find one that best fits your needs.
Now, that's wonderful. There's so many options out there today. I mean, with the cell phones and with the with internet we're bombarded with so many options. And I know myself, I get emails constantly, to use this service and use this one and that one and whatever. And how do we know that to protect ourselves? Or they're basically, I guess, how do we know what to look for? Because there's different components to this. Like maybe you could explain like what GoE Merchant is, and then the gateway and how they know who to go to first, or so that they're covering themselves.
Okay. Well, you're right. There are so many credit card processors out there and software companies, and they have all different trade names. The most important thing is when you call in to get information, make sure you're speaking with someone who really takes the time to understand your business needs, because you don't want to be set up on a card-present solution when you're mostly going to be keying in or vice versa. So it's important that they take the time and listen to your business needs and come up with a solution that fits it, because there are so many different types of solutions. Now, here at GoE Merchant, like I said, we are the software developers, so we were offering the online gateway. And you had asked me a question before our call regarding gateway and authorized.net. I just want to clarify, authorized.net is a trade name for a gateway. It was the first gateway that came out to enable people to sell online. So it's almost like Jell-O. Gelatin, people call Jell-O because it's the branded name. There are many gateways. Authorized.net is just one of the gateways, and GoE Merchant is also a gateway. So you need to look for a gateway that's going to be cost-effective. Very important that it's secure, it's encrypted, and has an SSL certificate. And there's also many other features in the gateway that includes reoccurring billing, customer vaults. But again, there's so much information that if you find a company that you can speak with someone and they can go over all these issues with you, that's a company I would say, you know, go with, because you need to be have someone who can consult with you to understand your needs.
But you can't go straight to the gate. You can't go straight to the gateway like authorized.net, or can you? You can go straight to the, or do you need the, to go to
no,
the
you can,
first company?
No, you can go to authorized.net, but there's many resellers. But again, that's just one of the gateways. GoEmergent
okay.
is the gateway. So you, and you come to us, we also offer the other solutions, including point-of-sale systems, swipe machines, mobile solutions, and also the merchant account.
Okay, that's fantastic.
So I just want to make everyone know that if you need a gateway, there are many gateways out there. Authorized.net is not the only gateway out there. It's just a trade name, just like GoEmergent's a gateway.
Okay, so I know we've had our account with GoEmergent for years, one of them. We have two other accounts with the First Bank card or whatever, the other one.
I think it was iPayment.
No, we have iPayments, I think, with you all, but I mean, we also have
mm-hmm.
another, it's First American,
oh,
I think. We actually have other merchant
right.
accounts. But I was questioning because I think, so we also, authorized.net is on our account too. So what?
Mm-hmm.
So we have GoEmergent, authorized.net, and iPayments, so I'm kind of confused, just if you could tell our listeners a little bit why you would have it set up that way, or why there's three different.
Well,
we
here at GoEmergent are able to set up merchant accounts with authorized.net if for some reason our gateway was not compatible, for example, a certain shopping cart or a certain front
okay.
end.
Okay.
So
okay,
we're getting
that
into
makes
a whole
sense,
other
then.
Realm here, because if you're selling, if you have an online presence selling or providing
right.
a service, you need to have a shopping cart for the most part. And
okay.
that needs to speak to the gateway, and then the gateway needs to speak to the merchant account. So I'm 99% of what we offer is our gateway, but there is that 1% of the time that we cannot integrate our gateway into a certain front end, and
okay.
we will then set up authorized.net, and we're able to do that as well.
Okay, and then iPayments, what is the difference with iPayments in that scenario?
Okay, so we usually use First American Payment Systems as
okay,
our
that's
first
who we use for the
account.
Other ones, I think, yeah, okay.
Right, but there's certain industries that First American typically doesn't underwrite. So we have other partners that we can place the business with. So there's many, many
okay.
options when you come to GoEmergent. Again, we consult with our clients. We learn about their business needs, how long they've been in business. Even credit has something to do with getting a merchant account. As long as there's not an open bankruptcy, we can pretty much place merchants with one of our merchant account providers.
It's really interesting because, I mean, we started having merchant accounts in the 90s, you know, with the regular machines. And and it's just interesting because as a consumer, on the consumer side, everybody's bombarded with so many, and it's nice how you're breaking it down so people know, you know, do you go here, do you go there, what do you do, or how many players are there out there, you know, and apparently there could be thousands and thousands of resellers. Apparently,
mm-hmm.
there's many, many online gateways, right? But are there
right.
many? Are there? Is it narrowed down? Like, is First American iPayments? Are they pretty much where there's only a handful of that out there? Or that's because I know
well,
they sound like a confusing
are,
question, but I could see a consumer wanting to know.
Right. Well, those are the banking portion. They're the merchant account providers. Okay. So that does the
oh.
funding of the account. And many, many independent sales offices, I'd rather call them that than resellers,
okay.
because resellers are a little bit different. There
uh-huh.
can be many independent sales offices that partner with different merchant accounts. They can have 10,
okay.
they can have 3. We typically have 4. But the ones that we work with, we have a very close relationship with, so we try
okay.
to streamline it. So you're dealing with GoEmergent. And
okay,
that's
so
it.
You're going to actually, you're kind of like the broker in a sense, you know, that's actually going to put everybody in touch with everybody else, but you're also a gateway as well.
Yeah, well, and I don't even know if broker is a good word because there are partners. So
okay, they're
we're
your
not,
partners.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
everything is done and it stays with us. And let's say I set someone up with a merchant account and the gateway
okay.
and everything, they stay with me. I will take care of, I'll be their point of contact.
Okay. So that's really good, and then you have different But now with the ways that, I guess, yeah, and with Go eMerchant, they can you can do everything. So you can do everything for them. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
That's really good. So what's tell us what a chargeback is.
Very good question. A chargeback, which most people are not even aware of this, that when you purchase something with your credit card, you have 180 days or 6 months to dispute the charge. It happens most often if you purchase something, for example, online, and you don't get the product, and you try to contact the company you purchased it from, and you cannot reach them. So you have no product, you paid for it, you cannot get anybody to answer your questions. You can call your credit card company, let them know what's happening, and say, I would like this taken off my account, off my bill. That's called a chargeback. And again, you have 180 days to do this. Another good example is if you order custom upholstery on a piece of furniture, and they say you'll have it in 30 days, and 90 days goes by, and you still don't have it, and you decide that you're not going to wait any longer because the promise wasn't kept. And they say you can't have your money back. If you can prove that you were promised it in 30 days, you can do a chargeback. It gives the consumer some security knowing that, you know, using a credit card, just because you paid with that credit card, and especially when you're doing it online, you're not face-to-face and receiving the product right then and
right.
there, that, you know, you have some comfort knowing that if you do not get what was delivered, you can take that money back.
Go ahead, Natalie. Because, well, the consumer can ask for it back if they didn't feel like it was delivered, but then the merchant account can also dispute that as well, right?
They can. And I'm going to give you a perfect example of what we do for people who set up an online store. We will guide them on how to set that store up properly. We'll put them on a conditional approval, we call it, until we see three forms of contact, like a phone number, an address, email address, whatever they need, a privacy policy, and a refund policy. If you have those things as the merchant on your website,
mm-hmm.
it's really hard for someone to say, well, I could not contact, you know, ABC company. If you have it all published and someone answers the phone when, you know, they call customer service or an email is returned, that really does protect a merchant. And good customer service is the best way to protect yourself. You know, if somebody calls and has a complaint, really try to work it out with the customer, because then they won't have a valid chargeback, so it won't be issued. And if you have too many chargebacks on your merchant account, it does have an adverse effect, and you can get shut down for that, because it is a risk for the merchant account provider to put money out that then they have 6 months not knowing, you know, is this really going to stay this way, or are we going to have to pay it back?
That makes so much sense. It really does make sense. I know as a consumer, though, because we've taken credit card, we've been blessed with happy customers and clients, but as a consumer, I had some web work done, and the people started, and I paid, and then it wasn't done properly. So I mm-hmm. went to try to get monies back, and I actually lost. I never got my money back because they had started it, and I let them start it. You know, so they mm-hmm. could easily say, well, the work was done, but it really wasn't all done, and I guess the merchant companies they're not web designers, right? So basically, mm-hmm. Since they had the money, you know, I wasn't able to get that money back, but the company was good to try to get it back. The bank was actually good at trying to get my money back. That was actually done through a banking institution, not the merchant. You know, I guess it went to their merchant account. So there are instances where the consumer isn't always covered.
Well,
but it's not
the
merchant account's problem.
Bank. Well, when you have a credit card, that is issued through a bank. Okay, so you know, whatever, if it's a Visa, it usually has a bank name on it. That's the issuing bank of your credit card. So that's who you would go to for the chargeback. Then they
and
contact the merchant account.
And then
they let the
have to go through
know
their
that
merchant
charge
account.
Back.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
And then they have to go through theirs, right? They have to go through their merchant account. So it's really, I mean, as a consumer, it's really, really important to make sure what you're – because I think as a consumer, when it's clear that, hey, the company didn't deliver the merchandise, then it's mm-hmm. clear-cut. You never received it. But when you're doing something like web services or other things, you know, that you're not maybe you receive part of it, but the work's not finished, and then it's not what you were told you were going to get, then you know, as a consumer, we have to be so careful. And it is nice, though, that there's the – it's nice that that 180 days is there if there's a dispute, you know.
Yes, it is. And it is, and it helps out in a lot of valid situations. But sometimes, you know, being in the industry, I see chargebacks happen for reasons that are really not valid. Or I don't say that – I'm not going to say they were issued,
right,
but they were – investigated, but then on the flip side, we have a dedicated chargeback unit. So we notify our merchants, letting them know that someone's issuing a chargeback and gives them the opportunity to make good so they know about it rather than, you know, all of a sudden the money comes out of their account. So, I mean, it's a good thing for the consumer. It's rough for merchants if they don't have a handle on it. But we feel very strongly about educating our merchants to know exactly what chargebacks are and how to protect themselves to keep their merchant accounts just running smoothly.
That's fantastic. That's really, really important. Well, when we're on that topic, though, of, like, chargebacks, there's a difference between a debit card and a credit card. And for the consumer, when they're using one or the other, I know as far as getting some of the money back, how does that work? Is there more safety in one than the other with a debit card versus a credit card?
The biggest difference with a debit card, and generally they're signature debit cards, because when you use a card that takes funds directly from your bank account online, you can't put a PIN in. So it's a signature debit card, and they usually have the Visa and MasterCard, or they do. They have the Visa and MasterCard logo on the card. The biggest difference is, you know, one is a credit card where you have a credit card account. You can pay the whole balance, not pay it, have a running balance. The other comes directly from your bank account. Now, nowadays, there's the software for processing online and the hardware when you swipe your card, it's very, very secure. Visa and MasterCard Association have criteria that needs to be followed, and you really need to keep your equipment up to date so it's secure and compliant with their regulations. So, I mean, when you're on a website, if you feel that it's a site that is really not secure, if you don't see where it says VeriSign, secure site, or, for example, and a lot of people don't realize this, when you are on, let's say, ABC Company and you're buying a new pair of shoes, when you click to go into the shopping cart, you need to look on the top where the www dot address is. It should always say HTTPS.
Which is a secure certificate.
If it doesn't have that S, it doesn't mean it's secure.
Right.
Okay,
that's
and
good.
A lot of people don't realize that. And I've been on sites where I go to check out and it doesn't have the S, and I won't check out because that is not a secure site, and you do not want to use your credit card or your debit card on there.
That's smart.
But for the most
part, that's very good. That's very good.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that until I started working in the industry. I'm like, wow. But I mean, you can use your debit card because usually there's protection. You know, even if it comes directly from your bank, you know, the same as with a credit card.
I know,
but it's always important
one,
to check. Go ahead.
That is, I know the one company where we were not able, where we had used the business debit card, and the Bank of America, actually said, you know, after trying to get our money back for us, and the other person kept disputing it, that they did, but they didn't do the work. You know, they said if we had used a credit card instead of the business debit card, they had more, I guess, under the law, or there are more resources to get the money back versus a debit card too. So it's just getting overwhelming, you know, with the way, because people, the way the things are going. But now getting on the subjects of cards, tell us about the rewards cards and how, like, for merchant account holders, how that affects them if the consumer is using, say, a regular credit card or debit card or a rewards card, and how that can affect their what they're paying.
That's a very good question. We all love to have our frequent flyer cards and our rewards cards where we get points for gasoline or, you know, products or gift cards. But a lot of people don't realize that the person who pays for those extra benefits or perks is the person you're purchasing something from.
Wow.
So if you use a rewards card and you go into one of the big box stores and you buy a bunch of stuff, the percentage that they get taken off the top, their profit, is reduced by a higher percentage from Visa and MasterCard because that's how they pay back for the rewards. The credit card companies are offering you rewards, but there's higher fees to the merchant. In the scheme of things, though, I mean, in the economy, you know, people buy more things, so it's not a huge amount. It's not like another 5%, but it is higher. So if you look at your merchant account statements and you wonder why some of the fees are higher than others, it's because you received rewards types of cards or business cards. We call them non-standard cards.
Yeah, because sometimes you see stores say they're not going to take even American Express or Discover or whatever, and we take everything. But and I know, and you get charged more. It's really good, I think, as a business person, to and this is something you go over with them in the beginning. You know, to know when you're offering to take all cards, which is good for the consumer, what the differences are going to be in your bottom line.
Right. Yes, and you need to take a look at your statements as well to see the breakdown of what types of cards you're getting to get a better understanding of your pricing and what you're offering in your store and your profit margin, because you know, that could all affect your bottom line. So, you know, people do charge differently if they find they're getting, you know, rewards cards, or online you can have a service fee and things like that. There's been many laws that have changed so you're allowed to do things like that. But again, the percentage isn't so much higher that it would put you out of business, but it is good to
know.
And
it's probably nice to offer. It's nice to offer the consumer everything. Like, we take American Express, you know, and they do charge more. I think they deposit quicker now, but they still charge more than a lot of the cards.
Yeah, they do.
You know.
And typically, as a merchant, the card with the lowest percentage taken off the top is a signature debit card. There was something called the Durbin Amendment that had been passed probably going on 3 years, maybe 3.5 years now, where one of the big box retailers fought back and said, why are we paying the same percentage on signature debit cards and credit cards? Because, you know, one comes directly from the bank account. So the big box companies won, and the Durbin Amendment allowed the rate to be lower. So when you're shopping for a merchant account, we here at GOE Merchant will give you a lower rate for signature debit cards. Others don't, but we do go with the Durbin Amendment decision, and we are passing on that savings to our merchants.
Oh, that's fantastic. So the signature debit card basically is a debit card.
It's a debit card that you don't have to use a PIN, which is most of them that are out there now, where they say debit or credit, and you could just swipe it.
Right.
And you don't have to put a PIN in, because then you can use it online.
Okay. Interesting. It's very interesting, because there's so much so much to be aware of nowadays, and even with the security PIN, I don't like to give that out because, you know, people want it, and because there's so much credit fraud these days.
Well, you know, I always try to educate people on how to protect themselves, and basically, the first thing you should do is go into your bank, and if you do online banking, and if you don't, you should really sign up. If you're not going to pay bills, that's fine, but so you can view your bank account daily. There's really nothing wrong with looking at it every single day just to make sure that those transactions that are coming out of your account and going into your account, you're aware of. Also, many, many banks now, you can set up alerts and you can set any threshold that you feel comfortable with on purchases, or if balances drop below this, that, or the other thing, you'll get an email or a text. And so if, let's say, your debit card was compromised and someone uses it, you'll know right away. And then you can shut it down before any damage is done. Same thing with your credit cards. You should view them online. If you make a purchase, it usually posts on your credit card statement the next day. So if you take a look at your credit card statements online, at least a couple times a week, you can see if some activities is not looking right to you, and you can call them immediately and protect yourself from, you know, damage that can be done if it goes undetected for a while.
You know, that's a wonderful, I'll tell you, it's changing so fast, you know, as far as with the alerts. On your credit report, too, you can actually, I guess, have an alert put on your credit report. It's almost like called like a fraud alert. so mm-hmm. that if somebody tries to take out a card in your name, they're going to you're going to be notified. And
yes.
that's kind of it's just really really
yeah,
getting
a red flag if you get a ding on your credit that, you know, someone's applying for credit, then you need to check your entire identity portfolio.
That's unbelievable what's going on these days. It's just we are listening to Realty Universal Radio, and this is Roberta Olnichuk with Go eMerchant,
yep.
filling us in on retail merchant accounts and lots of other good stuff. We're going to take a real quick break and come right back.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you after consulting with the experts. We set you up to win.
We are back to Realty Universal Radio. This is Natalie Mullinex, and we have Roberta Olnichuk on the line with Go Eat Merchant as our guest, and we're going to dig right back in. If you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 347-945-5428. So, Roberta, this has been very interesting so far, and we've got about another 25, 30 minutes left. So.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to keep on rolling. This is really good information. I think so many people, there's little things that people don't know. You know it as an expert in the industry. And that a lot of times we assume and then we find out too late. So it's really important to be able to get all the details when you're going to go in and get a merchant account. And then as a consumer, all business owners are consumers and vice, you know, also as well. So
right.
It's talk of a chip coming out, and that's not the chip with people. It's a chip with a credit card, not chip with people.
Yeah. Right.
When they do
right.
the chip with people, I think I'm going to leave the country.
No, that'd be awful. Yes, Chip and PIN is actually a brand name that was adopted by the banking industries, really in Europe. It started in the United Kingdom, I believe Ireland. And it's making credit card processing more secure, where each credit card is going to have a microchip in it, in addition to the MagTech stripe. And I'm going to write MagTech stripe so that I don't forget. I just want to give you an idea of what is held in that information. And then also in Europe, they require the PIN as well. So let's say you go into an establishment in Ireland. All the credit card machines there are set up to read this chip that you'll actually see it on the front of the card. It has like a hologram almost, it looks like, where that has specialized information stored more securely than the black little stripe on the back of the card. So you go to swipe your card, it has to be a card with the chip, and you also have to enter the PIN. That way it ensures that you are the cardholder and that is your card. So it cuts down on people using stolen cards. Now, in the United States, this will take effect. Should be around in October. And we're going to be doing, in the United States, chip and signature. So the PIN is not required at this time. It could in the future, but everyone should be getting new credit cards that have this chip in it, that it identifies information that cannot be stolen. So, for example, the MagTech stripe that's on the back of the card.
Yeah, what is that, a MagTech stripe? Is that with the stripe on the back of your card?
Yeah, you know that black stripe, so when you swipe the card, you have to swipe it so it reads that information?
Right.
That stores all the information about the cardholder, you know, who you are, your name, your address. A lot of times people will ask you for your zip code. The reason they ask you that is because you need to tell them the zip code that matches what's on that stripe, and that's the information where your bill goes to. So
okay.
Let's say somebody stole your card and they don't know where your, you know, where your bill's going, and they say the wrong zip code. That's an alert to the merchant that this is a stolen card.
Well, that's go ahead. That's good.
Yeah, that's how the card is read. It has the card number. It takes all that information, scrambles it up, sends it to Visa and MasterCard, lets the merchant know that the funds that you're looking to purchase are available, that the card hasn't expired. All of that good stuff is all held on that stripe. The bad part is, over the years, people who are really savvy at hacking things, they came up with devices that can read that information. So they can read that information off of that stripe and manufacture.
Is that when you see this? You've seen things where people have taken it, you're in a restaurant, and they grab the card and they go to use some, they have some other machine they can run it through?
Yeah, yep. So you're going to start seeing that too in restaurants. Everything is working off iPads and mobile. Your server will come to your table and swipe your card right then and there.
That's really better.
Going to start going away. And that's one of the biggest times that fraud happens, is when someone takes your card and walks away and comes back. But even if have you seen the wallets now that they say protect your credit cards, and they're these specialized wallets? Because
no, I was going to ask you about the wallet, the tag not working because of the wallet. So what is that?
Well, no, they protect the MagTag stripe information because there's people with scanners out there, and they can scan that information and take it and make fraudulent credit cards with that.
What does the wallet do? It's like
an armor.
Oh my goodness.
That the information can't be scanned through it.
They scan through your purse?
They could. These scanners can pick up credit card information. It depends on what it is. I mean, how they're doing it.
Oh, my God.
It's still very secure. It doesn't happen that often, but it can.
Because when you eat out in restaurants, they take your card and then they come back, and it's always, could always be an issue, right?
Well, you know, most of the time, you know, people are honest, but, yeah, they can, you know, take an imprint of your card or things like that. But with this chip, and that's coming out in October, it's very difficult to steal the information. So therefore, fraudulent cards and making counterfeit cards hopefully will be greatly reduced.
So it's not that chip, if they have a scanner, it's not going to work with the chip, right? They're not going to be able to get that information.
It's much more secure. And what this means to the merchants is that if you have a device that you're swiping a card in your establishment, you need to make sure you have one that can read the chip. So there will be some upgrading of equipment. And all the merchant account providers here at GoE Merchant, we are gearing up to make sure that we are compatible with the chip cards so we can service all of our merchants with that.
Is that going to be, like, if you have online right now, merchant account, do you have to change all your buttons, or is it all just going to automatically work through the processor?
It doesn't really affect online.
Okay.
But every card is going to have this chip in it. You'll get a replacement card. But it's basically for card-present swiping solutions.
Okay. So all the machines, are they going to have to be upgraded, or are they still going to work?
Well, you know, a lot of people have those machines already because this has been in the talking phase for quite some time. But if you don't, it's to your best interest to get the machine, because otherwise, if you receive a fraudulent card, it's on you. You have to, you know, there's fees that you'll have to pay, and in a lot of cases,
right,
it may not read the card. So it's important. And I wish I could give you more detailed information, but this is so new that I'm getting bits and pieces. But I know the high level at this point, but as far as, you know, what the equipment, what's going to be required. I mean, we do have a device right now. Our Exeon machine will accommodate that. So if anyone needs a new credit card swipe machine, contact us. We do have that available.
Exeon machine?
Exeon, yes.
Exeon, okay. That's really good to know, because it's interesting when you say that everyone's going to send out these cards by October 15th. I can't imagine how the credit card companies are going to handle that volume of replacing all the cards all over the place, because people have different expiration dates now.
Well, I think they've been it's a phase-in process. And you know what? My credit card, the one I use primarily, expires in October, so it's perfect timing. But I know people who have already received them.
Oh, okay.
So we've known about this for a while, so it's a phase-in process.
That's fantastic. Now, if they're a business owner and they're going, okay, they can contact you at GoEMerchant. I'm going to give your number is 888-638-7867, mm-hmm. extension 3876, and we're talking with Roberta Olnichuk, who works with GoEMerchant, and this is Realty Universal, and if you want to call in, the number is 347-945-5428. So if they're new to this and they're going to go, and of course they can contact you and get information and get themselves set up, they basically, it's probably wise to do online and also machine, I would think, depending on their business. Just some people maybe only need online, but depending on what they're doing. And, tell us, there's so many companies getting the business, so tell us a little bit about how the reseller works and teaser rates, because, again, I mean, I'm seeing it myself, getting inundated with sign up with us, you know, mm-hmm. and we're going to give you this 1-point-something rate. So what is that all about? Because you said there's so many resellers.
There's many different sales offices that will offer merchant services in general, and I'm sure you'll see tons of things on the Internet. And the rates that they put out there, and everybody usually puts out their very best rate, but if you really don't understand how the rate structure works, you may not understand that rate may not apply to you. So you said 1 point something. Generally, if you see a 1 point something rate, that's a card swipe or a retail rate, because, again, as you mentioned earlier, those come in lower.
Okay.
But if you're doing only Internet processing, that would not apply to you. So, I mean, I have people call me all the time. I say, well, our Internet rate's around, you know, very low, 2%. They're like, well, I could get it at 1.7. And I said, well, are you swiping? And so it's a whole interview process and to find out how someone is processing the card. So when you see these rates, of course, you're going to see the teaser rate or the lowest rate to get you to call the company. So when you do call, you always need to ask questions like, is this card present or non-card present? Very important, because that's going to be how your rate is based. You're not going to get 1.7 if you are processing over the Internet or taking payments online or using a virtual terminal. It's also important to ask about a contract. We don't have a contract for our online. There is a contract for retail. But, you know, if you're trying to set up a gateway or a virtual terminal, we don't offer a contract, so it's always good to ask if there is a contract. Also, too, to be aware, there are some websites that say, you know, 100% approval, sign up today. And you fill out an application, and they tell you you're approved immediately. That rarely is something that's going to really stay approved unless... Well, it could stay approved. Let's put it this way. How do I put this? It's a conditional approval, usually, because here at GoEMerchant, we do our legwork. It takes more than 5 minutes to get approved. It could be 24 to 48 hours, but we do all the due diligence. You know, we make sure it's a valid business. We check the years in business, all of that good stuff. So when you are approved, you're approved. We're not going to hold your funds. We're not going to come back and say, oh, we need this, this, and this. A lot of companies will give you an instant approval, then they go back and do the checking, and they may come back and say, well, you know, this didn't pan out, so we're going to hold your funds. So always make sure, I mean, just because the approval process is a little bit longer, it kind of means it's a stronger company, and they take a look at their book of business, and that means that we're going to stay in business, we're going to keep your money flowing the way it should, and we're going to be around for a long time to take care of you as the merchant.
That's fantastic. But if somebody wants, and they have the credit limits, they'll tell you, they'll just hold the funds if somebody comes through and they charge more than what your credit limit is, or do they actually deny the person's credit card if somebody is on your site?
You will set the credit limits, or the limits of your tickets, we call it, when you apply. If you try to process something that goes over that limit, it won't go through.
So it'll actually decline, or will they?
It'll decline. Because it exceeded the high limit. Because limits are set. Because again, a merchant account is almost like a small business loan. We are floating funds,
right?
And especially when it's a non-card present solution, we have to be careful because sometimes fraud happens and people set up accounts, and it's fraudulent.
Right.
So, you know, we can be out if we have no limits. Somebody can charge $1 million. So based on business type, let's say you're selling shoes again, and you want a $100,000 high ticket. The underwriters may look at your website, and if you don't have shoes that are $5,000 or more, you know you're
not
going to get
on it
unless you're doing wholesale, and you need to indicate that. So we do need to set limits for the protection of the merchant account. Again, we want to stay in business so we can keep providing good service and merchant accounts to our customers. But we're very flexible with raising those limits. We may ask for some documentation, checking statements, but we also work with you when we consult when you're signing up, and we determine what the best limits are for you. We don't want you to estimate too low. We want to make sure you have enough wiggle room to grow and accommodate any transaction that you're going to
process. Is there any situation where they would just hold the funds and verify instead of declining the transaction if it's over the limit?
No, the only time we really hold funds is in chargebacks. So if, for example, if an account gets more than 5% chargebacks in a certain time frame, the funds will be held until an investigation is done. No, generally it'll just say exceeded limit, and then our merchants will call either their sales consultant or the provider and explain why they needed it higher. And most of the time,
so
they'll
the actual consumer would could charge something and it's more and it exceeds a limit and they'll get a decline?
Correct.
Wow, that's not very good. That's not good, though. It's kind of,
No, that's not good. That's why we take a lot of time with our merchants to discuss the limits, and we make sure that the limits are set appropriately for products that they're selling.
Right, okay.
We would never, if somebody was selling, I don't know, custom doorknobs that, you know, run $500 and above, we'd never set their high ticket at just $500 because, you know, somebody might buy three or five.
Wow. There is so much information.
That comes in with discussing. I'm sorry.
Huh? No, go ahead.
No, I interrupted you.
No. I was saying there's so much information. We're going to have you back because we're just touching on information today. And there's just so much information, which is, I guess that's part of the interview that you do with the merchant when you first, when they contact you know,
right.
To go through all the information.
Right, we need to really understand the merchant's business needs to make sure the merchant account that they have fits those business needs.
Wow.
And, I mean,
what happens,
when people
are doing those big campaigns, like you see people like speakers or internet gurus, and they're going to do a big campaign, and maybe if it's one of their first ones, what happens if all of a sudden their campaign brings in a couple $100,000? Everybody gets denied, or they just hold the funds?
No.
That's kind of...
No. Well, there's a difference between a high ticket and a monthly volume, okay? So the high ticket would just be one transaction if, for example, it was really, you know, much higher. And, again, we set them with enough room to accommodate almost any high ticket. Now,
okay.
The monthly volume, that is set as well, and we take a look at sales and, you know, revenue that's been received, and we usually up it quite a bit to make sure there's wiggle room. But we also take a look at we get an alert. So let's say you have a merchant account with me, and your monthly volume is $10,000, and you are at $7,500, and there's 2 weeks left in the month, we have an alert and we'll raise it. Either we'll call you and say, we need a checking statement or something, but most of the time we'll just go ahead and raise it because we see that the business is growing and you're not going to have enough for the month, so we will go ahead and raise it. We're not going to do unlimited, but you may get, doubled.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, no. No, it makes total sense, yeah. This is just wonderful information because, you know, if somebody doesn't ask the right questions, they're going to end up having egg on their face, right, if they can't get it done. And it's good that you cover all that in the beginning.
We need to ask the right questions, because I don't expect, especially new businesses, to know, mm-hmm. you know, these questions. So we make sure they understand all the implications of having a merchant account and, you know, how to have it run smoothly so you can do what you do, run your business, and let us worry about that stuff.
That's incredible. You know, I have a question going back real quick, because I know we're running out of time, just as a thinking as a consumer. That MagTag strip that we have on the back of our cards, mm-hmm. I guess from mine being in my wallet for so long, and then, you know, like, for example, Home Depot, it never works, ever. They always have to punch it in. So that means that MagTag strip, because it happened, I hear people say that all the time, yeah, mine doesn't work either in my wallet. So that's when that doesn't work right, it's because the information probably, the tag strip just isn't functional anymore.
It got worn out, yeah.
That's just a consumer question, yeah, because I guess with the chips that are going to be in, it's going to be a whole new ball game now. And, it's just interesting. And I'd love to find out where you get these wallet protectors, these things for, but it's just amazing.
Well, when you have the chip, you're really not going to need that. And, you know, I've heard of them. I've never used it myself, and I've never had a problem.
That's fantastic. These companies, though, I guess they're going to have to pass, you know, even you guys are going to have to pass the cost over to the consumers, because it's just got to be an exorbitant amount of cost to keep up with the new changes, keep up with the identity theft, keep up with, you know, making it more and more secure, right?
This new stuff, no. We go through an audit every year. It's called the PCI. Payment card industry audit, where we need to be certified that we're compliant. So we're used to doing things like this, and there is a fee that our merchants and all merchant account providers pass on the fee. It's usually less than $10 a month, and that comes into all of this. So we will keep up. We always keep updating. We're always step ahead of what we think may happen. Be prepared, because, again, you know, a lot of our business is online, and online security is extremely important. And I have to say, GoE Merchant has we were one of the gold members of the PCI, the payment card industry, with Visa and MasterCard initially. How many years ago? I can't even remember how many years it was. But we've always been right up there on top of security and secure payments. That's probably what we're famous for. Or, you know,
that's
secure
fantastic.
Payments. As well as boutique-style service, because we do pride ourselves on the customer service that we give to our clients.
That's fantastic. No, there's really so much to know. And, you know, we've had merchant accounts since the 90s, and I guess we've been very blessed. And we've used GoE Merchant for a lot of years, too. And so it's been a good company to work with.
Things have changed a lot since the 90s as well.
Oh, my gosh. It's just totally it's changed drastically. It really has. And then of course, PayPal came up, and there's Square. You know, there's just different services. PayPal's nice, too, if it's tied in with your account, just because people like to. You know, I used to look at PayPal as, well, we don't want that. That's just for people that aren't really running a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
from a consumer
side.
Now. They have regular merchant accounts, PayPal credit.
Yeah, because now the PayPal makes sense to add to the shopping carts, because as a consumer, I love to go ahead and use PayPal and not use my credit card, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, it's just I'm glad everybody's getting on it all the way around.
Right.
And,
there's so many things to investigate, and there's many different options. So it's always good to do your research, talk to people about it, and come up with the best solution for you, because you can customize something that works great for you.
I love it. Wonderful. It's great. So we're almost finished. I'm going to ask a couple quick questions and then see if you want to pass on anything to our listeners that, we've gone over a lot. Just an interesting to see how things work. I remember doing a business class, 30 years ago, I'm dating myself. And I had to explain credit cards and the charges and how the companies charge the people. And, boy, things have changed drastically since then, because we're talking 30-some years ago. But it's just interesting to see who makes money, how the money's made, why the money's there, why the charges are there, you know. You see businesses that say cash only, which I don't think is really good, because in the long run they're really cutting back what they can make. So this is interesting, and more online. So one question I have, though, is if you have, because we have different accounts, we have the machines, and then we have online. Can you do both with the same account? Have both online and a machine, or do you need a separate account because they're
separate?
Right versus,
one's considered a retail, which is the card present account, and the other's e-commerce. So you definitely need to differentiate between those two types of accounts, and that yes, you will need two different merchant accounts.
Okay, so that's going to be two different fees and two different everything. It's just like two everything, right? Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
And then you mentioned earlier wholesale. What is that when people are doing like drop shipping, wholesaling, or like wholesale and retail? What's the difference on the business?
I just really, one's B2B and one's B2C. And, you know, if you're doing wholesale, your volumes would be higher because you're selling, I'm trying to think of a good example, building supplies, plumbing supplies. You're selling it rather to another business. So, of course, they're not going to buy one item. They're going to buy it in bulk.
Okay.
Or the things are more expensive. So, you know, we have to look at the products that are being sold to determine what the ticket sizes would be.
Oh, okay. So it's going to depend on the ticket size. Wow. Okay. That makes sense.
And also, we didn't talk about resellers. You mentioned resellers, but we were really talking about sales offices. If anyone is in the industry that deals with customers, let's say you're a web designer and you design many websites and a lot of them turn into an e-commerce website, give me a call. We could talk about our reseller program. It doesn't cost anything to participate, and all the referrals would come to me or one of our other sales reps, and we'd handle it from there, and you'd be compensated for the referral.
Sign us up.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because, if you can help them with a static website that they're building for informational purposes and turn it into a money-making website for them, and we can help, you know, it would be a wonderful partnership. So you have my number. My email address is Roberta, R-O-B-E-R-T-A, @goemerchant.com. You can shoot me an email, and I'll be happy to follow up with you.
Oh, this has been so enlightening. This has been wonderful. I really appreciate it, Roberta. And Roberta's phone number also, again, is 888-638-7867, extension 3876. You can also always go to our website, realtyuniversal.com, and fill out Contact Us, and we'll forward you the information, as well as radio@realtyuniversal.com. So let's do a parting shot. What would you want to tell, you know, the business owners and the consumers out there, because there's so much to do and so much, but there's also easy ways to protect yourself, right?
Yes. I mean, the most important thing is to stay educated on merchant accounts, understand, you know, payment processing in general. We do have on our website, you can go to www.goemerchant.com, we do have some downloadable ebooks that will give you some information. But don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to call around and find your best rates and the best service. Because, you know, payment processing, especially online, you need the security, you need the trust, and you also want to keep your profits margin high. So you try to do it with the best cost. And I think Goe Merchant, we cover all of that here. So feel free to give me a call. I'll be happy to help you.
And keep it simplified. I love that. That's what you do. That's what you do for us. You keep it simple.
Yeah, one-stop shopping with us.
Yeah, I love it. Well, this has been the end of our show. And, Roberta, thank you. We'll have to have you back. And everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter @RealtyUniversal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.
You have some archived ones.
Yeah, you
so
can,
I'm go
yeah, you can download it then, and then you could actually, let me see something. I'm going to draw it. It's going to, I'm going to end this in a second. And can I call you right back? Just call you real quick.
You know what? Let me go back to my desk and then call me back.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Give me like 5 minutes, okay?
Okay, sure. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.